being in Egypt, and second only to Pharaoh himself. He was running the show down there. And the 7 years famine come, and then after the 7 years famine, I mean 7 good years come, and after that was 7 years famine, and people's about starved to death everywhere else, and everybody had to come down to Egypt to get them something to eat. And their daddy, Jacob, told them boys, he said, you go down there and get us some corn. And they went, you know, and come back and found their money in their sacks. Everybody knows that story, don't you? And they had to go back, you know, and he wanted to keep one of their brothers. And it was a hectic time. They had no idea that the man they was dealing with was Joseph himself. And in Genesis chapter 45, Daddy told them that. He said over there, let's look down there about number 24. He sent them out of there, and he said this. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And that little phrase there, that last phrase there got me. And I started thinking about it, and the Lord gave me these thoughts that I'm going to give you. So you just sit back and prepare for it tonight. And the book said there, he told them, see that ye fall not out by the way. And I got to thinking about that. The Lord started dealing with me about this message. And I got to wondering, you know, there's two ways that you can take that. One way would be, he was telling them to be real careful and not fall out of them wagons or something while they was driving down there. I don't think that's it. The other way is, see that they don't have a falling out among themselves on the way. That's what the verse means. He said, now you boys, while you're going down there to Egypt, he said, you better learn how to get along with each other. Don't wind up getting in a fuss down there. And see that you fall not out by the way. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on that little thought. See that you fall not out by the way. Along life's journey, as they sang this morning, it's easy for us to fall out with each other. But we need to learn how as Christians to stick together until our task is completed. He told them guys, he said, now you go down there, you get the corn, you get back up here, you straighten up, get it right here where I can look at it, and don't fall out by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, we have a job and a task right here at New Manna Baptist Church. What the Lord would say to us tonight would be, see that we fall not out by the way. It's easy to do that. Yeah, I can imagine that they did a lot of time. And it's very easy. That's where the old saying comes from. Well, preacher, I used to go down here at such and such, but we had a little falling out down there. How many of you ever heard anybody say that? Raise your hand. That's a common phrase. That comes from the Bible. It comes from the King James Bible, not the new ones. And that's a part of our thinking in America. Well, me and the preacher up there, we had a little falling out. And I decided if I was going to run things like that down there at that church, I just decided I'd be better off to stay here and watch old Oral on TV. And they say, well, that's my Christian life right there. A lot of times you say, do you serve God? And people will say, no, I don't serve God. Why don't you serve God? Well, I went to church for 5 years and had a falling out down there in a business meeting. The Bible said, see that you fall not out by the way. Now, there's four things I want to give you this evening that the Lord put on my heart the other evening as I was studying. And the first one is this. Christians fall out with each other. Jacob knew his sons were likely to have a little falling out. He knew they was probably aggravated and they'd probably get in an argument on their way down there. And so he said, now you boys, you better see that you don't fall out along the way. Time and memoriam only knows the stories of Christians who've had falling outs with each other. Boy, you could write books as much as the encyclopedia of Christians who've had falling filling out. Legion are the tales and stories that mountain people and city people can tell you of, well, I went to that church down there, and so-and-so, she was my brother, or she was my sister in Christ, he was my brother in Christ, and I tell you, we had a big argument, and I quit church, and I ain't never going back. Now, the Bible said, see that you fall not out by the way. I've got to make up my mind that I don't have a falling out with you and knock me out of the race. You've got to make up your mind that you don't have a falling out with your brother or sister in Christ that will knock you out of the race for God. And I'll tell you what, brother, when you and one of your brother and sisters get into it and there's hard feelings between you and you kind of get on the outs with somebody and have a little falling out, right then, when the devil will jump on your case more than he ever has in your life, he'll make you think, well, what's the use in even going to church? There's no use in even going back. So-and-so don't like you. So-and-so's talking about you. But the Bible said, see that you fall not out by the way. Amen? That's right. I can imagine Jacob's brothers. You say, what would them good brothers? I can imagine them going down back down there to Egypt. And as they're starting down that long journey, one of them looks at the other one and says, you guys know why all this is happening, don't you? And the other one said, just shut up. Don't even start. And the other one said, you know why it is? It's because we sold our brother into slavery. And I told you we shouldn't have done that. And the other one spoke up while he's going down the road and said, oh, you did not. You was right in there with it. And the other one said, well, you're the one that had the idea to throw him in the pit. And the other one said, well, it was your idea to sell him to the Midianites. And all the way down the road, can't you just hear them? Can't you just hear? Well, I told you, the boys, it wasn't a good old hush. I don't even want to hear it. That's why their daddy told them, see that you fall not out by the way. That's just like a bunch of Christians. We're going down the road, and if you're not careful, boy, you'll get mad at somebody over there, somebody over there. One of the biggest tricks the devil plays on Christians is when you get mad at somebody else that you go to church with. Now listen, brother, when you got several hundred people like we have here at our church, I think we had over 700 and something people here this morning for a preaching service, and I want to tell you, brother, a lot of them was kids, but a lot of them were not kids, and there is no way in the world that several hundred people can walk down the road and always get along with each other and always agree with each other. But the book tells us, see that you fall not out by the way. I'll turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 just a second, and let me show you a verse of Scripture. Somebody said, we may not see eye to eye, but we can work arm in arm. Somebody else made a great statement, and they said this, the man that's pulling the oars doesn't have time to rock the boat. The man that's pulling the oars don't have time to rock the boat. Somebody else said, to live above with the saints we love, oh, won't that be glory? But to live below with the saints we know, oh, that's another story. I'm telling you, Christians have a falling out. Look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2. Here's a great statement, unusual statement in the Word of God, and it said that our heart might be comforted, being knit together in love. Mind that a statement, knit. Our hearts are supposed to be knit together in love. Our minds don't always agree, but our hearts are to be knit together of as a church. The devil would like nothing more that I know of in this town than to cause us to have a falling out. That's what he wants. And any time you or me or any of us instigate a falling out, that is not the work of God. That's the work of the devil. You hear me tonight, brother? The devil likes to tear up churches. The devil wants you to break fellowship with your brother and sister. The devil wants you to say, well, I tell you what, I just don't like him his way. I don't like so-and-so. And I can't stand her. That's the devil gets in you and me when we talk and say stuff like that. The Lord said, see that you fall not out by the way. Now, how many of you ladies ladies ever done any knitting? You've done cross stitch, knit a sweater, something like that, raise your hand. How many of you guys ever done it? I better not say that. Listen. You done any knitting? I don't know how you do it, but I know one thing. I tell you, that'd be a nerve-wracking job. Let me find somebody that's got on something here. I'm looking for a sweater. Been big sweaters that you can see them big holes in. Anybody got on one? The kind you can see them big holes in. That's too tight. That, you can just see like that right there. Y'all raise your hand, Betty. Raise your hand right there, like that. See that sweater? See her arm right there? See all them little things? That somebody's took something. I don't know how they done that. Maybe a machine or something. They took and they run one thread this way and one thread that way and one thread this way and in this way and in that. You'd never untangle that thing if you try. It's all just like this. Now the Bible said that's the way our hearts are supposed to be. God took a big old thread of love, run it through my heart, run it through his heart, run it through Gene's heart, run it through Had's heart, run it through whoever that guy's heart is. Brother Todd, run it through Bobby, run it through Duran, run it through Brother Tucker, run it through John, run it through Ray, and back and forth. And God wants our hearts to be knit together, so when he looks at us, we'll be just like that sweater. God don't want the church to be broke up into little factions, and this little bunch over here, this little bunch over here, that little bunch over there believes that, that little bunch over there believes that. God said, let your heart be knit together in love. Amen. We are not to fall out by the way. You know, everything we do, we get criticized for it. If your church grows, you get talked about. They say you're tricking people. If your church don't grow, they say you're dead. If you got a big church, they say they don't believe in that. If you got a little church, there ain't nothing going on. If somebody's going to have something to say. We've got criticism over the bookstore. Somebody said a church has no business operating a bookstore. Crazy. I mean, there's always somebody running their mouth about something. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you Wednesday night. We just heard the other day part of the vision's been fulfilled. We just had our first three souls saved off one of our videos over there. The other day they got them from Nebo Baptist Church and showed them to about 13 young people, and three of them got saved by the grace of God. Amen. That's exactly what we wanted to do. I'm telling you, brother, you better be careful that the devil don't use you to cause people to fall out, by the way. That's right. You know, it's easy to do. Somebody didn't like the camp. You know, we first started out, one preacher said, well, the Bible don't say have a youth camp. The Bible don't say have a youth camp. And one of his members got tired of listening to it. They said, the Bible don't say have a fellowship hall. We got one out here in the back. The Bible don't say have a lot of things. Listen, brother, there's a lot of things the Bible don't say to do, but are not anti-scriptural. The Bible don't say have Sunday school. The Bible don't say have Sunday school teachers. The Bible don't say have carpet. The Bible don't say have air conditioning. The Bible don't say for you to drive a car. You better watch out that the devil don't use you to fall out with other Christians by the way. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you tonight, my dear friends, there's just a few. I've heard people say about every church I've ever been to, and I'm going to be careful with all my illustrations tonight because this is home, and I have to be careful with these, but boy, if I was off from here, I could tell some things. But I want to tell you what tonight, friends. Everywhere I go, people say, well, there's only just a few people that do everything in that church. And you know why that is? Because they're the only ones that's willing to do everything. Amen! Anybody here that feels like that tonight, see us after the service. We'll give you more to do than you can get done between now and next Sunday. Come on, boys. Give me some amens. I've heard people say, well, that's just a handful. They do this and they do that. Well, it might be because it's about a bunch of people won't do nothing. Reckon that might be it. There's plenty for everybody to do if you'll just do it. It's easy to sit back and do nothing and criticize anybody. Well, listen, brother, we need bus drivers. We need bus workers. We need teachers. We need evangelists. We need workers. We need this. We need singers. We need people to sing in the choir. We need people to do a work for God. We need people to visit. We need people to pray. We need people to write letters. We need people to send thank you cards. Listen, don't let that cause you to fall out, by the way. Amen? Boy, I'll tell you, bless your hearts, you ladies, when that nursery starts getting hectic and you lay that little old baby in there. Now, oh, I thank God I don't have to go back there. I thank God I don't have to go back there. My job's hard, but boy, I'd hate to be stuck in that nursery. And I praise God for these dear ladies that volunteer time, brother, to go back there and stay in that nursery. What a blessing you are tonight. But I tell you what, boy, when you talk about getting people mad, you talk about having a falling out when one of them little babies bites your baby on the ear and you look at it and it's got teeth marked right in there, you know. You'll never know that your baby clawed its eyes out first. All you know is that baby bit your baby on the ear. And the first thing you know, you won't speak to that woman. Now, I have nobody in mind when I'm saying all this stuff. So all I can say is, I promise you, I ain't got nobody in mind, but if a shoe fits, put it on. That's all I can say. And listen, you ought to be grown up enough to take preaching, and you better listen tonight. I'm telling you, you better be careful about falling. Can you imagine a person getting mad and quitting the church? And losing the blessings and not seeing the three people saved last week and the ones that saved this week and 78 at the camp and people getting saved through the ministry of the bookstore and all that and say, I quit cause a baby bit my baby. That's dumb, you know it? That is dumb. I'll take my church up here to so-and-so where she'll be the only baby in the church. She might be the only little baby in the church. She might be the only three-month-old baby in the church. But I'll tell you something, brother, there's something wrong with a church that don't have no kids in it. There's something wrong somewhere if it's in America where there's thousands and tens and millions of people. But anyway, see that you fall not out by the way. You bus workers, it gets on your nerves and the devil will get on your case and he'll say, here you are giving your time and giving, paying your own gas and running all over creation on Saturday to try to get these stinking brats to come to church. And then they don't appreciate it. And then this happens and that happens. And you better be real careful right then. Because if you're not careful, here's Geraldo jumping on you every Saturday morning in the bus meeting. And he's telling you do more. He's telling you do more. He's telling you do more. And you're saying, Brother Geraldo, I'm doing everything that I possibly can. And he's saying do more. We've got to get people in here. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. I'm telling you, when it gets like that, you better see that you fall not out, by the way. Christians have fallen out with each other. There is no way in the world that we can do what we're trying to do in this town without sometimes just having to swallow our feelings and swallow our pride. Listen, I made up my mind a long time ago, if somebody in here does me wrong, that I'm just going to overlook it and swallow it for the work's sake. For the church's sake. For the church's sake. For the church's sake. This church and this work is bigger than my feelings. See that you fall not out, by the way. Well, let me say number two. Husbands and wives fall out with each other. I'll tell you how you can solve 90% of your marriage problems tonight. 90%. God's been dealing with me about this. I talk to married people all the time. I hear complaints all the time. Everywhere I go, there's somebody saying, can I talk to you about marriage, brother? I tell you, I can solve 90% of your marriage problems, and this ain't going to cost you a bit of money. I'm not going to charge you $35 or $50 an hour like a professional counselor, but I'll guarantee you, you can solve 90% of your problems if you'll do two things. Number one, you quit taking each other for granted. And number two, you show your husband and your wife as much respect as you show everybody else. You know what's wrong with married couples tonight? Brother, they take each other for granted. A lot of you ladies, you don't realize what a good man you've got. A lot of you men, you don't realize what a good wife you've got. You don't. You have no idea what you've got. You say, but I'll tell you one thing, sis. If he's sitting here beside you in the house of God tonight, there's women here tonight that would give anything if they just had a husband that would come to church with them and provide for them and treat them decent. Amen. You say, he's just not good looking, you know. You married him. Don't gripe. Quit griping about that. Amen. I can't stand running these people that every time you talk to them, they give the impression that I could have done better. You ever talk to anybody like that? Every time you talk to them, that's all you hear. Well, so and so, and they'd give anything if their mate would die so they could go after the love of their dreams and all that kind of stuff. Let me say something, sonny. If you could have done better, why didn't you? Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, show some respect. Hey, when you walk by somebody else's, here's what married people do. They say if you see two people driving down the road, and one of them's sitting on this side of the car and one of them's way over yonder, they're married. But if she's sitting almost on his lap and he's got his arm around her, they're dating. You know what that is? That's the devil. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It's the devil that can make you can't keep your hands off each other before you get married, and then you won't touch each other after you're married. That's a devil, brother. That's a devil. That's a devil work like that. It's supposed to work the opposite. It's supposed to be the other way around. I'm telling you tonight, see that you husbands and wives don't fall. Here's what you guys, will go down the hallway in church, you know. And boy, here you'll go down the hallway in the house of God. You'll meet somebody else's wife and say, good morning, sister. God bless you. How are you? And then your wife comes down the hall. Get in the car. Let's go home. Ain't that the way it works? Then that woman that you just was nice to meets her husband down the hall, and he says, where have you been? Good night. We're going to hurry. The Methodists are going to beat us in line over at the steakhouse if we don't get on over there. And that's what makes you think, that's what makes you when you get home thinking, so-and-so's husband is so nice. Why are you so hateful and so-and-so's husband? Because so-and-so's husband is a hypocrite. They're nice to the one they ain't married to and hateful to the one they're married to. If you're going to be hateful to anybody in the world, Lord in mercy, let it be others. But we got to keep up this act in front of everybody else. We got to let them know how nice of a person we are and how good a Christian we are. But boy, the real old devil comes out, boy, when you get in that car and start going home. You get just as hateful and just as mean. I've had this said to me on more than one occasion. You hear me? I've had ladies tell me in tears in my office, Brother Danny, I don't see how in the world he could sing in that choir or say amen while you preach. The way he talks to me when we're at home, the way he treats me, he talks to me like I'm a dog, he treats me like I'm dirt, and then comes in and puts on an act. But listen, you husbands and wives, respect each other. Amen. See that you fall not out by the way. I tell you, you go over to somebody's house and you're over there and they invited you over for dinner. You're so nice. You're Mr. Nice Guy, ain't you? You'll come up and you'll say, well, ma'am, do you need me to go to the store? Is there anything I can do? All that. And your wife fixes dinner at your house the next week. She says, honey, I forgot to get milk. Will you run to the store and get it? Then what happens? Good night, shut up! I'm watching this ball game! I told you to get it. I gave you $50. What'd you do with all that grocery money? Honey, I made it stretch as far as I could. Oh, I could have fed this whole town for the money you took to the grocery store and griped. I've had ladies tell me, they said he gripes about every time I ask him for a penny. He said, I've done without. I know women that even have to steal their husband's tithes out to give it on in the house of God, because he'd take a dying fit if he knew she was giving that money in the house of God. She said, Brother Danny, I've got my own job. If my husband knew I tithe, he'd kill me. Huh? See that you fall not out. By the way, you husbands and wives here tonight, you ought to thank God. Listen, go back in them days. Remember when you first fell in love? He's the same one you fell in love with. I mean, the old fire can still be there. It can still be good. If both of you will get on your knees and respect each other, listen, there's no two people that can't live a happy, happy, blessed life if God's first in their life. But when you get mean and selfish and you get your eye on some old hussy at work, or you get your eye on some of them old flirty boys down there at the factory, that's when you're getting in trouble. First thing you know, you start finding fault with your mate, and the next thing you know, boy, I tell you, you're telling each other to shut up, you know, and having a fight, you know, and some kids, they grow up, all they know is mom and daddy are fussing and cussing and screaming and hollering at each other. One little boy come up to us, a little boy, and said, my daddy can beat up your daddy. The other little boy said, so what? My mama can beat him up too. Amen. That's the way it goes, boy. I've heard ladies tell me, listen, let me give you a great a nugget here. Men fall in love with the person they're attracted to. Women are attracted to the person they love. Now, I ain't got time to preach on that, but you think about that. For that explains a lot of life problems. Men fall in love with that person they're attracted to. Women are attracted to the person they love. Now, you think about that. Men and women are different. Men and women are not the same. They think different. They're made different. God made them different on purpose. You're two sides of the coin. And if you will work together, you can have that. By the way, ladies, let me say this to you. Listen, God didn't give you your husband to complete you and satisfy you. God gave you to him to complete him. He's the one that needed completing. He gave the woman to the man, not vice versa. I have ladies all the time, they say, well, he just doesn't meet my needs. You know what you need to do? You need to forget about your needs and meet his needs. And when you get right with God and meet his needs, God will make sure your needs are met. Amen. Preach it, brother. That's good preaching. That's the way that thing works in the Word of God. Some of you people's brainwashed. You're brainwashed. That's your problem. Okay, smarty pants. Try it your way and see how happy you get. Go against what God said in the book because you think he's a chauvinist. Say, I don't like what God said in the Bible. I believe my husband ought to take care of me. And see how happy you are, sister. I'm telling you tonight, I'm telling you this evening, parents, husbands, and wives have fallen out with each other. Did you know, wives, that if you keep nagging him, it'll ruin him? Did you know the Bible said a prudent wife is from the Lord? Heard about this one old fellow. His wife nagged him all the time, fussed at him all the time. And they said she nagged him into dating her. She nagged him into marrying her. She nagged him into buying a house. She nagged him into buying a car. She nagged him into going in debt. But they said it finally paid off because he got in a car wreck and like killed himself, and he's in a coma for 28 days, and finally after 28 days of nagging, he spoke. She talked him right out of that thing. I want to tell you what, brother. Listen, husbands and wives, see that you fall out. Oh, one way a girl can make a man quit making passes at her is marry him. That's right, ain't it? Some fellas can get down and pray with the brethren, but never pray with their wives. You and your wife ought to be able to pray with each other, friend. You and your husband ought to be able to pray with each other. You say, well, I feel like a hypocrite because all we do is fuss, and then he wants to get down and pray. I told him, just forget about it. No. Hypocrite, God already knows you're a hypocrite anyway. Just get down and say, God, we're hypocrites. God, we've been fussing. Lord, you know we hate each other. God, you're going to have to help us. Amen. Be honest. Come clean with God. Bible said, let not the sun go down on your wrath. You know what that means in mine and your language? Never go to bed mad. Never go to bed mad. Boy, you go to bed mad, you won't get a good night's sleep. I told somebody, I believe the devil must have invented them big king-size beds. That's so you can get real mad and they can be 8 foot between each of you. And you'll turn over this way and she'll turn over. Back in the old days, son, they just had them little bitty sacks like that. You roll right down the middle here, right there. And boy, you had to make up then. I didn't know I was going to say that. You say, Brother Danny, you got a dirty mind. Shut up. I'm telling you tonight, brother, listen, husbands and wives shouldn't fall out with each other. Amen? Yes, sir, brother. Listen, you're to complete him. He's supposed to love you. You're supposed to love that wife as Christ loved the church. Always remember, she's not your enemy. Always remember, girls, he's not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. You ain't each other's enemies. The devil's your enemy. Your partners get together and fight the devil. And you know what the most important thing is? For two people, like adults, to sit down and be able to talk out their differences and then pray about it. Amen? So we just can't talk. That ain't true. You just won't talk. Sit down and talk it out. You give her 5 minutes. You take 5 minutes. Don't interrupt each other. All right, honey. Speak your mind. Whatever's on your heart. Lay it on me. Well, I just blah, 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 blah. And she quits in 5 minutes, I'll give you $1, brother. Then it's your turn. All right. I believe this. Now, don't get mad now. Don't get mad. Just talk it out. When company's there, that ain't no time to talk it out. When one of you first comes home, that ain't no time to talk it out. See, if you got a gripe with him, don't start on him as soon as he walks in the door. You liable to have a fist full in your mouth. If you don't watch out. I don't believe a man ever, ever, ever should hit a woman. I think a man that hits a woman sorry and low down. But honest to goodness, and don't you take me wrong, honest to goodness, sometimes they just, don't you take me wrong, brother. Don't you take me wrong. God will deal with all that. It's a judgment. I'll put it this way, brother. Some of them, I just about need it. Don't you go out of here and I say, now, Brother Danny believes in hitting your wife. I think you ought to take a man and hit his wife and put him in jail. I think you ought to be on the chain gang if he'd hit a woman. But honest to goodness, I can't really say that I blame some of them a lot of times. I know they're wrong. Lord, I should have never even got into that. There's no way you can win saying something like that. You can't win saying something like that. Now, I know some of you men will say, oh boy, I get to get her next time. No, I didn't say that. I think I'll put you in jail if you lay one hand on her. You big bully, pick on somebody your own sex. I'm telling you what, brother. She may be bigger than you are. I'm telling you tonight. Hey, husbands and wives shouldn't fall out with each other. You go over to so-and-so's house and eat, you know. And you're over there and she fixes spaghetti. And she spills a big wad of spaghetti right down your shirt. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. This old shirt, it's just white. It ain't going to stain it or nothing like that. Say, oh, don't think a thing about it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Mr. Nice Guy, let that same thing happen at your house. Let your wife fix you some spaghetti. And come in and trip and spill some down your shirt. Ah! You're trying to kill me, you idiot! Clumsy fool! What's wrong with you? And she'll say, oh, I'm glad, I hope it burns a little two hairs off your chest. Amen. Amen. Brother, there's why marriages make up up there. We're so nice. We're nicey-wicey to everybody else and treat our mate like there's dirt, like there's scum. If we would respect each other the way we respect everybody else, there wouldn't be nobody getting a divorce. Right. Amen. Husbands and wives fall out with each other. Number three, parents fall out with their children. You know how the devil mess up your home? When those kids, you lose them. You lose them. And the way you lose them, when they start, I know a lot of people, they keep their kids in church fairly regular when they're 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And boy, they think, praise God, my kid's going to be all right. But when they get about 12 or 13, something starts happening. And there starts to be a wall between them. That kid starts thinking on its own. And brother, I can see it. You can see it. That kid starts slipping. That kid starts going the other way. You better be careful. Listen, you ladies better be careful. That's got teenage daughters. First thing you know, you will be fighting like two sisters instead of communicating like a mama and a daughter ought to be. You men, you better be careful that you don't fall out with your son. You better stay close to that son. You ladies better stay close to that daughter and see that you fall not out. By the way, the devil's plan is to drive a wedge between mama and daughter to where the daughter says, I can't talk to mama. She won't listen to me. And mama says, the little brat, she won't listen to a thing I say. See, that's the devil's plan to get in between you. Y'all have got to stay close. You've got to stay close. See that you fall not out, by the way. Listen, that's why this girl came in. She said, her daddy was telling her she had to be home by 11 o'clock. She said, Daddy, why do I have to be home at 11 o'clock? I'm not a kid anymore. He said, that's why you've got to be home at 11 o'clock. You're not a kid anymore. If you was a kid, I'd let you stay out later. But you ain't a kid. That's why you got to be home by 11 o'clock. Amen. That's right, brother. I've had ladies tell me, Brother Danny, something's happened. We're not close anymore. There's a wedge between us. Things ain't the same. A lot of kids. And what happens is, listen, ladies, if you've got a teenage daughter, when they come in and say, Mama, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, now you already know what you believe and you already know where they're wrong. Now the tendency is to jump on them right then and say, No, sir, I don't want to hear it. Now you blah, blah, blah. That's your tendency. See, you know, I know I'm not, you know, I've got three girls and you know, I'm playing part of mama and daddy. And so I go through all that kind of stuff. But here's what you got to learn how to do. You got to at least let them speak their mind. And while they're doing it, don't go, oh, yeah, just go. A lot of times all they want you to listen to them. Amen? Amen. See that you fall not out. By the way, they ain't a kid no more. It kills us as parents when they get up and got their own mind. We like it when they're little, boy. No. Yes. You think this. You think that. You said here. You said, boy, when they start getting big and they start thinking on their own, you think, whoa, I'm losing control. And then you try to grab that control back. And the more you try to grab it, the more they pull away. And the more they pull away, the more you try to get them. And the devil gets a wedge and you have a falling out. And a lot of girls run off and get married earlier than they should just to get away from the fussing and fighting in the home. I'm not blaming parents. I'm just saying make sure you don't fall out, by the way. Boy, listen. Listen, do you know? Do you know why a lot of girls are loose with boys? Because daddy never hugged them. And they just want somebody to hold them. That's right. You go out here and find a girl that's messed her life up in sin and pin her down and ask you, did your daddy ever hug you when you was growing up? And 9 times out of 10 she'll say, no, daddy never hugged me and showed me no affection. That's true. That's true. You'd be surprised how much something like that means to a kid. Tell them you love them every day. Don't let the devil drive a wedge. Oh boy, I know them teenagers. Now I ain't got no boys. And I always wanted a boy, and I always thought the Lord would give me one, but, you know, some reason or another, he chose not to. It just, you know, me and them 3 girls. But I'm telling you what, brother, I know them teenage boys can drive you up the wall. I mean, they're hungry again before you get the dishes washed. I mean, they have their feet stink like a dead dog. I mean, they listen, you can't fill them up. They're smart aleck. They run their mouth all the time. I mean, they grow so fast you can't keep them in tennis shoes. And oh, my soul, boy, I tell you, buddy, it's rough. It's rough. It's rough. But I'm telling you, you better be real careful, and you better make sure you don't make an enemy out of that teenage boy, and that you and him don't have falling out. I don't know what to tell you to do except pray and pray with them and let them know you love them and let them know you care about them. But I'm going to tell you this too. As long as that kid is living under your roof, I don't care if he's 19 and weighs 400 pounds, you are supposed to run that household. Amen. People say, well, if I don't let my daughter go to all the dances and all the things like that, she'll run away from home. Listen, you might as well run away. You ain't got no control over her, no way. Hey, see, it ain't going. You say, well, I'm afraid if I set my foot down, preacher, that's all. I'll lose them. You've already lost them. Man has got to set his foot down on this. You say, well, I'm afraid if I do, they'll think I won't love them. You can show them you love them in a million different ways, and you got to show them, hey, there's only so far I'll go with you, and I'm drawing the line right there, and you ain't going to cross that line. I'm a firm believer that anybody that's under your roof as a man is under your authority. Hey, if one of my cousins from up north come and said, Danny, I've run away from home, can I live with you for a while and stay in your house? I'd say, yeah, you sure can. But you're going to be home when I tell you to be home. And you're going to do what I tell you to do. And they say, well, I'm 20. I'm going to do what I want. I say, well, you can go pay your apartment bill and buy your own groceries and pay your own light bill. If you don't want to be under somebody else's authority, hit the road. Amen. That ain't too popular in this time, but you are not doing your child a favor by letting them run over you and push you around. You're better off to lose them for a while, because they'll come back one of these days and they'll apologize. They'll come back. You're better off to make them mad for a little while than to pamper them and give them everything they want. They think they can go through life like that. They'll wind up in jail one of these days. See that you don't fall out, you parents and your children. A lot of times girls get in trouble because they think there's no use talking to mama, she won't listen. I'll go talk to my friends and see what they say about it. And you know what their friends going to say about it. Sure, go ahead. Who cares? Do whatever turns you on. You'd be a whole lot better off, mama. Let your kid know that they can tell you anything. Amen. See that you fall not out, by the way. One more, and this will be the last one. People fall out with the preacher. Here's where the devil will get you. It's very dangerous because it cuts off your spiritual food. See, you can fall out with your wife. You can think, well, thank God I can still get to church Sunday and Brother Daniel preach to me. or you go to some other church. My pastor will have something for me. You can fall out with your children, but you can say, we're all going to church Sunday, and maybe the preacher will have something good for me, and he'll preach, and he'll feed my soul. But boy, when you fall out with your preacher, then the devil cuts your food off because you have a hard time listening to him. Anytime you fall out with your preacher, it's hard for you to listen. Think, well, I don't know. Instead of listening to what he says, you're thinking about your problem that you got with him. Now, I'm telling you tonight, brother, see that you fall not out, by the way. See that you fall not out. I've heard of people falling out with a preacher over some of the dumbest, most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of in my life. I had a preacher tell me just the other day. He said, I was preaching at this church. And he said, we had a good service, and I preached hard as I, good as I could. And he said, we had a good service, and you know how a lot of times at the end of the service, turn this thing up just a hour, Brother Roy. You know how a lot of times at the end of the service, you'll say, all right, you're just dismissed in the fear of the Lord. You know how you do that without calling on somebody to pray, just sort of dismissed. He said, there's a fellow jumped all over him. He come up to you and he said, we don't do that around here. He said, what do you mean? He said, we always dismiss in prayer. And he got real mad at that preacher because he did not have a dismissal prayer. Ain't that smart? I mean, brother, that is brilliant, isn't it? See that you fall not out, by the way. What preacher told me, he said, listen, there's a lady in our community, she run out of firewood, and he said, I didn't even know it, and she got mad at me as a preacher and didn't want to come to church or quit church or something like that because I didn't bring her no firewood. I didn't even know the heads you needed any. Most amazing thing about being a preacher is people expect you to read their mind. You had people get mad at you because you didn't even come and visit them in the hospital. Lord, they could have been dead and gone. We'd have never known it. You think we're... you don't ever come to church? No way, some of them. Amen. I mean, we're used to you not being here. How am I going to know you got snot coming out of you? See that you fall out, by the way. I'll tell you what, brother. I love everybody, and as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing between me and nobody in here. If you've got a problem, you come to me, and we'll get it right, because I don't want you to be hindered and not be able to listen to the Word of God. You fall out with your preacher, you're getting in trouble. You're getting in trouble big time. I heard a preacher tell me, he said, I had a man quit my church because I allowed a man to preach that he didn't like or didn't agree with or something. And he said, when I had that man preach, this other fella quit the church. I mean, here's his pastor that feeds him every Sunday, and a guy's going to quit the church because a man preached one Sunday that he didn't agree with. You tell me the Lord's in that. You tell me. I'll say something else while I'm on the subject. If you sit there and tell me tonight that God led you to leave a church where they're winning souls, where they're preaching that book, and believe that King James Bible, and believe in heaven and hell, the blood substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ in power and glory, and that God told you to leave there and go to a dead liberal church that supports liberals and the convention and a bunch of junk like that with their money, I don't believe God tells you to do that. Amen. Amen. And boy, hey, listen, you say, well, old so-and-so told me God told me. I don't care what he told. God don't work like that. Don't get me wrong. I know this ain't the only church in town. I know there's a lot of good churches. There's a lot of fine churches in this county that believe. But have you ever noticed this crowd? Brother John said that the toe on the image in Daniel chapter 3 represented the Grecian Empire in the second half of the tribulation. I just don't believe that, buddy. I'm going to First Baptist. You're full of the devil, son's what you are. I shouldn't have said that, because I just popped in my head. Hey, brother, don't you tell me God leads you like that. There's something bad wrong with a person act like that. I'm not being critical of mean. This probably on the radio maybe, but we had a lady, a man and a woman get real mad at me because they wanted to join the church one Sunday morning and we went real late and I forgot about it and didn't call them up and they ain't been back since. But God told them to come here and join. Hey, can you believe me to tell me that you're going to disagree? Remember back a few years ago when some of the young preachers was fighting over people being saved during the tribulation? I mean, that's foremost you guys' time here. That was up north. They was fighting over how people got saved in the Old Testament and they wound up going to church where a preacher don't even believe the Bible, the Word of God. Now you tell me that the Lord does stuff. I don't believe that, brother. I don't believe it. See that you fall not out by the way. Amen. Now, brother, listen. If me and Brother John, me and Brother Danny here, I'm sure we disagree on a lot of that. And I'll tell you this. They don't tell me, but I'll guarantee you, I've made a lot of decisions that they personally thought Danny has lost his mind. He's crazy. But because they respect me, they says, hey, we're going to back you up anyway, preacher. It's between you and God. That's the way we got to learn how to work. Amen? That's right. You can't have a church no other way. Oh, people think, you let people think whatever they want to. Well, I've been this thing a long time. I was the first one of you. I mean, that first Sunday in March, I've seen this thing come, I've seen a lot come and a lot go. I've seen people, I know when the devil's trying to trick somebody, they'll get mad at me because I don't visit them or because maybe I seen their dog. One lady got mad at me. Because she seen me uptown, and I didn't wave at her. Yeah, Danny thinks he's something because he got that big church now. I waved at him, and he won't even speak to me uptown. I thought, Lordy mercy, I just probably have my mind. If you wave at him, you're flirting. If you don't, you're a snob. Would you let that determine whether you go to a church or not, whether or not somebody waved at you uptown? What about the truth? What about the book? But I tell you what, I'd put up with a lot of stuff I didn't like to get my children in this kind of services that we have around here. I'm not trying to brag or nothing like that, folks, but I'm being honest as I can be. This church is one of the best things that's ever happened to McDowell County. I mean, how dumb can people get? I tell you, I want to be in on it. I would not want. People say, well, I'm going back where grandma was raised and their kids sitting back on the back seat and no other teenagers and nothing to do and no youth choir and no youth camp and no youth services and nobody shouting and nobody getting saved. I don't believe that. Buddy, I'd want all the help I could get for my kids. Somebody said that I said something about, I made some kind of crack about something here a while back, and they said, I'm not going back to that church because that preacher said thus and so. And then somebody went and talked to their husband, or the wife, or vice versa, something like that. Anyway, said, when are you going to come back to church? I said, well, I told him anytime he wanted to go, I'd go with him. And the man just got through saying that she said she wouldn't come back because of something I said. I don't know. I don't think people sometimes just looking for an excuse to get out. And I found this out. A person never quits a church over one thing. I've heard people say, so-and-so quit church. Why? Because they got mad about, that ain't true. A person never quits a church over one thing. A bunch of little things. And then finally, bam, something gets them. Somebody bungs their car out in the parking lot. Then somebody bites their baby's ear. Then some little kid comes crying all up, bam, steps on their foot. Then they can't find a songbook. Then, but we sing the same song two Sundays in a row. Then I don't visit them when they come. And then that's it. Boom. Out. Well, Somebody told me the other day, they said, I was thinking about, no, it's not been the other day, it's been 6 months ago, I reckon. They asked me, they said, well, Brother D, you know, everybody's always looking at me, you know what I mean? He's this, he's that, he's doing this, he's not doing what he, you know, always, they got me under a microscope, man. And somebody said the other day, they said, they come up to me and they said, when you get married? And I said, I don't know, when the Lord tells me to. When and if he tells me to. And they said, well, ain't you afraid that so-and-so will quit the church if you did? And I said, if he does, he's a hypocrite. And they said, what do you mean? I said, if he does, he's a hypocrite. And they said, what? I said, because, good night, man, I've been dating a lady for 2.5 years. And then he said, if I got married, he'd quit the church. Hey, buddy, if it's wrong for me to marry, it's wrong for me to date. Amen. You know why they say it's wrong for a divorced person to get married? Because they say if they got married, they'd have 2 wives. Now that means if you had 2, you already got 1. And if a man's got 1, he ain't got no business dating. Preach, brother. Preach. What would you think about Bruce if you saw him and Ashley out on a date Friday night? Come on now, come on, get real, people. That's right. God have mercy on her. And everybody in the church said, oh my soul, I saw Bruce on a date with Ashley. What would be your problem? What's the problem, man? You know what the problem is? He's married. A person that's divorced scripturally is not married and has no wife. And when they marry, they have a wife, not 2 wives. I sure wouldn't go to church where a married man dated a single woman. You're a hypocrite if you do that. You're a hypocrite. Your problem is you're just scared what your kin folks gonna say. You're scared of the person. You won't read your Bible, and you won't take what the Bible says, and you're just afraid of the persecution you might get of ignorant people who don't know what the Word of God says. You say, well, who believes like you? Oh, I've never heard any preacher. Well, that's your ignorance, brother. Dr. John R. Rice believed like me. Martin Luther believed like me. Charles Spurgeon believed like me. The men of God in days gone by. John Wesley believed like me. Dr. C.I. Schofield believed like me. Dr. Bob Gray believed like me. Dr. Jack Hiles believed like me. Who is there of all people that believe that other junk? Amen. You know how I believe. I hate divorce with a passion. I believe people ought to stay. You heard me a while ago. But you better get off that junk and stop letting them demons talk to you about stuff like that. Amen. That's right. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to push on you. I'm trying to help you. See that you fall right out, by the way. You know what you need to do? Anytime you've got a problem, and I've hurt your feelings, or I passed you at the bookstore and didn't wave at you, or somebody got to teach a class that you wanted, or anytime you get hurt, call me up. Tell me. Say, Brother Danny, this is bothering me. I ain't going to bite you. Some people think I'm preaching all the time. I've had people tell me, they say, I just can't talk to my pastor. Well, there's something wrong with your pastor if you can't talk to him. Amen? God's man ought to be reasonable and be willing to sit down with anybody, anytime, and talk out things. Sit down. Talk it out. Say, this is where I feel. I don't ask you to agree with me. I'm just saying, see that you don't fall out. By the way. Amen? Some of that stuff I preached last Sunday night about that blood and Eve not having no blood and blood laying on. Listen, I wouldn't fall out with you if you don't believe that. I don't even know if I believe it.
I think I do. It sounds right, and it's probably right, but I ain't going to fall out with you over that. If you believe something, so what? We've got too much good to let that point of disagreement ruin what we've got, people. You listen to me? The Lord laid this message on my heart. We have got too much goodness here. Listen, we make one more team, you know it? Hey, I've stuck with y'all through thick and thin. I've stayed at this church when it would have been a whole lot easier for me mentally, physically, every other way to just to go on down the road somewhere. I've had churches that would do anything I want, ask me to come and pastor them, Florida, Tennessee, up in Chattanooga, everywhere I go. I've had calls, I've had people come, would you consider, I'm in a church, I got no telling how much money over in Chattanooga, Tennessee, a huge church and all that. They said, would you consider coming? And I think of you and how much I love you. I said, no, I wouldn't lead them people for anything in this world unless God told me to. Listen, I stuck with you when it's hard for me and my kids here in this county. I've had my daughter walk across the parking lot at the Pizza Hut and old hippies stand over there and mock her and say things that you wouldn't believe about my family situation here. Making fun of us. My girls! Being mocked! Being called on the telephone! Hey! I stuck with you! Amen. Well, I've stuck my neck out for this place. And I've caught hell in this county. I'm not trusting for old pity. Boy, I see them everywhere I go uptown. I walk through any restaurant, any store in this town, and I turn around like this, and they're going. It's funny in a way. I mean, it don't bother me that much anymore. Big city, you wouldn't have to put up with that. But here you do. But I just want you to know that I, by the grace of God, I'm not going to let something like that cause me to fall out. We're over the worst part, folks. I believe that. We may have persecution coming another way, but we're over the worst part. God's brought our church a long way. God's brought our church. And before you start getting them crazy thoughts in your head, mad at your brother or your sister, so I ain't going back up there because I think so-and-so's flirting with my wife. Before you let something like that knock you out of church, you better look them kids. It's a big church. You can sit way over yonder next Sunday. See? I've had people say, I ain't going back up there. So-and-so's trying to run around with my wife. I don't believe that, for one thing. And another thing, I believe if God told you to quit coming over that, He'd have put you in another church somewhere. They don't go nowhere. You see how people fall out over stuff? See that you fall not out, by the way. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Let's pray tonight. I'm going to let you go. Come and get us a song. I don't know. We might not even give an invitation. Just pray right there at your seats tonight. Maybe you need to pray and ask God to help you. I tell you one thing. I sure need Him to help me. Maybe you've got hard feelings against that person beside you tonight, or maybe on the next pew, or in front of you, or behind you. Maybe some of you ladies here tonight. I don't know. If there's hard feelings between you and another lady, maybe you need to just go grab them by the arm and say, hey, let's go to the altar and let's pray this thing out. Maybe there's husbands and wives here tonight. You need to just grab that wife by the hand and say, let's go to the altar and pray this thing out. Maybe there's kids and parents here tonight that you might want to say, hey, honey, let's go down there tonight and get that teenage boy, that teenage girl. So, hey, let's stay close at home. You're not going to agree. You're not going to agree with your parents on everything, teenagers. Listen, your mom and daddy loves you. They care about you. You're not going to agree with your mama on everything, but she's smarter than you are. She's been where you ain't been. And she loves you, and she's trying to help you. Boys, you're not going to agree. Listen, your daddy may sound like he's mean. He makes you cut the grass or cut wood or take out the trash something. Your daddy loves you, kid. He loves you, and he wants to help you. Maybe there's husbands and wives here tonight that need to come to this altar. You've had a falling out. See that you fall not out, by the way. Dear God, Lord, do what needs to be done in our church tonight. Lord, I know that you gave me this message. Lord, it's just as clear as a bell the other day when you spoke to my heart. And God, I pray that everyone here will take it in the right spirit. And if there's anyone here that's had a falling out with one of their brothers or sisters, or their husband or wife, or their daughter, or their preacher, that tonight would be the night they settle it and not fall out, by the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's